It's nice to be here with you again. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Sure do enjoy the specials. And, just thank you. 75, how did that happen?
Well, 1 year past 74.
Okay, that's... It's mathematics, evidently. Is there anybody older than him?
Yeah.
In the building tonight? Anybody older than 75? Brother Dutch? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, there's a few of us. All right. You're in an elite class. 75. I'm 60, and I get wore out watching him work outside. God, give me that kind of strength when I'm 75. We're glad you're with us. Who will go with us? Part 3. Matthew 16, start at the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist." So John had had his head taken off at that point in time. So he's John the Baptist come back from the dead, I guess. Some say you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto him, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Again, from Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And then one more scripture, if you'll indulge me, from Exodus, the 23rd chapter. We'll read the 20th verse. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand before you, Lord, there's nothing, Lord, that we have to bring that you didn't give us. But Lord, we want to give you whatever we have. It may be feeble, but we want it to be all that we have, Lord. You gave your all. It's the least that we could do, Lord, in return, is to give the little bit that we do have, to give it all back to you. Lord, you spared no price. You ascended, you descended, Lord, from the highest realms, and you made yourself without reputation. Lord, you brought yourself so low that, Lord, if we're not careful, we're looking for you up in the stars, and yet we're stepping right over you. You came, Lord, made yourself a foot wash flunky, which, Lord, we know was the lowest job that was in the social realms of the day, was someone that would wash the feet of the guests when they arrived at the house. Lord, you washed the feet off the very dirt that you created in the beginning. And Lord, we recognize that you are humble. You're not trying to be humble. You are humble. You're the greatest. The greatest of the greatest. And yet, Lord, you came to down to our level, below our level, in order to take us back up to your level. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I just ask that your healing virtue would flow through the building once again, Lord, in each and every home, those that are listening in. Father, we love you, and we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us, Lord. And Lord, we want to learn how to be better Christians, how to serve you better, Lord, how to surrender to you more, how to get out of the way, Lord, so that your strength can be made perfect in our weakness. So, Lord, we invite you to minister to us once again the portion of the word that we have need of, and only you know that. So we surrender ourselves to you, Lord, and we just invite you to have your way once again. And we give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and ordained him for military leadership, if you will, he said to him, "Thou mighty man of valor." And I could imagine Gideon was looking around right about that time, because remember, he's hiding behind the threshing floor, and he's probably thinking, "Man, I thought I was alone back here. I thought it was just me, but there must be somebody else back here, because he just said, 'Thou mighty man of valor,' and I don't see him anywhere. I wonder why I can't see him. Who is this mighty man of valor?" And the Lord says, "Hey, buddy, I'm talking to you." He moves this way and he moves that way. Me? Yeah, you. "But Lord, I'm hiding. I'm out here behind the threshing floor. Surely you don't mean me." "Yep, I've chosen you. You're the one. But," no buts, "you know that your heart's desire is to see the living God on the scene once again. You know, I know that you believe my word. I know that you've been crying out for a living God. You see, Gideon, I have heard the cries of my people, and I have come to deliver my people. I have come to fight for them. For they have called upon me, and when they called upon me, I sent them a prophet. And that prophet brought them to repentance." He turned their hearts. Their hearts were turned. "And now I have come personally to fight for them. But I need somebody to work through." And you're it, buddy. But you're not a goat. You're a lamb. But Lord. Listen, Gideon. You see, I don't need great big armies. I'm not like that other guy out there that thinks that, you know, the majority rules. Numbers are not needed. And I've never been impressed with numbers. Numbers is never what I've been looking for. I have a certain number. There's a certain number that are mine, and they're always going to be mine. But I'm not looking for great big crowds. In fact, when you gather together men to go to battle to fight for me, I'm going to whittle down what you gathered. And you're going to maybe be a little frustrated. I'm going to prune the vine. I'm going to cut away some of the dead wood. You see, I don't need a crowd. And I don't care if they're rich or poor or educated or illiterate. I don't care what race they are. I don't care. I just need a few that are sold out. I just need some that are surrendered to me, and I'll take those and I'll whip the Amorites with them. Gideon, I can't do anything with a big herd because of their unbelief. Because there are those among them that are not sold out. They're idol worshipers, and yet they proclaim to worship me. So I'm going to separate some from that you've gathered together. I'm going to whittle them down. I'm going to separate some by how they drink water out of the brook. And then I'm going to separate the fearful from among them, from what's left. So God trimmed Gideon's army down to from 30,000 to 300. God doesn't need a group. God doesn't need big numbers. In fact, all God needs is one man or one woman that surrendered to him. And he will shake Satan's kingdom with that one that is sold out to him. He doesn't need a big army. And that's what we are looking for in this late hour, in the closing moments of the Gentile dispensation. Men and women that are sold out to God. Not great big cathedrals, not great big crowds. There's nothing wrong with a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But God's not interested in numbers. He's not interested in quantity. He's interested in quality. He's looking for those that will surrender to Him. And so that's what we're looking for in this late hour. Show me a man or a woman that'll put God first in everything in their life, and I'll show you a person that the devil doesn't know what to do with. Hallelujah. From the message, If God Be With Us, Brother Brown says, Gideon certainly was a scriptural man. When the angel of the Lord said to him, and if you notice, it wasn't the angel of the Lord here. It said, and the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. It was not an angel, it was God. It was theophany in a man in the form of God. It appeared to Abraham back in the wilderness. Looked like a man. It was the Logos, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word. Made the Word, the theophanic Christ, the one that spoke the universe into existence. God creating Himself into His first form of His creation. A theophany and a man in the form of God, like appeared to Abraham back in the wilderness and looked like a man. So therefore, being a messenger, he was the angel of the Lord. And he appeared to him and he said, Thou mighty man of valor. And he's going to take him and deliver Israel by him. Listen, friends, he didn't send somebody else. This is the Lord Himself. I believe God's raising up a Gideon army tonight, once again, here in this last day. And He's picking, to the world, it's the most unlikely of people. Friends, let's be honest tonight. I wouldn't have chosen myself. Now, I don't want to hear too many amens on that. But look at yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. Which one of you considers yourself a mighty man or woman of valor? You know, yeah, I would have chose me. And, you know, I don't know what took them so long. But we look at ourselves and we see our weaknesses and we see our failures and our mistakes. And we think, you know, I want to serve God, but what could God do with me? He's looking for somebody that has a heart, somebody that's surrendered to Him, somebody that wants His word, that says, Lord, I believe Your word to help my unbelief. So He's not looking for numbers, but He's looking for surrendered hearts. Somebody that will say amen to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Somebody that will say, like Mary did, Lord, whatever it is, be it unto me according to Thy word. I don't care how fantastic it is. I don't care how hard it is to believe, how supernatural it is, how far it is from my imagination. If it's in Your word, be it unto me. Let Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise His wonderful name. So he's calling unto you this evening, and He's saying, Thy mighty man or woman of valor in this last day. I'm sending you out into Satan's Eden. No, I'm not afraid to send you out there, and I don't feel sorry for you because I'm going before you. I'm sending you out into Satan's masterpiece, into Satan's Eden. You aren't many in number, but you're fixing to whip the devil. Amen. And to take a rapture. Amen. And there's no devil from hell that's going to keep you from that. Amen. Because I predestinated it. I've set your destiny. Amen. And I will perform this thing that I have said that I would do. So friends, we are seeing Satan as he's being cast down. He's in heavenly places, the accuser of the brethren. But in the book of Revelations, we find that he gets cast down again. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. There's nothing left to accuse us of. Because the kinsman redeemer, oh friends, he's opened up the book. There was a section in that book that listed all of your deeds that you did in the flesh. All of the mistakes that you made, all of the failures. But that when you were born again of the Spirit of God, that was all washed away. It was all taken out of the book. Red on red is white. It was all annihilated. And so Satan comes before the throne to accuse you.
And Satan says, but Lord, don't you have somewhat against this one? Don't you have somewhat against that one? He looks in the book and he says, nope, I've done a title search. There's no liens on this property. This is a believer. This is a son or daughter of God. I have redeemed them. I have saved them. I have sealed their soul to the day of their redemption. I have granted for them to be arrayed in fine linen, pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. This is my bride. She's word of my word, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, and I find no fault in her. What's left to accuse you of? He dropped the charges. Glory. It's all been dealt with, friends. It's time we stand up, recognize who we are, what we are. We're not arrogant, but we recognize the power of this blood. We recognize what the fullness of redemption means. It means that man is put back on the grounds that he was at before he fell in the garden. It means man back on speaking terms once again. It means sons and daughters of God that speak and nature obeys. You say, well, I want to go speak to mountains. Why don't you speak to this mountain? And I don't mean this one, yours. Leave mine alone. That's my mountain. Amen. Speak to this earth. Bring this earth into subjection to the word. Hallelujah. So there's going to be a people. Oh, friends. Death is nothing more than a limousine right now. Death has been defeated. Death has been conquered. But we read in the scriptures that death has not been put under his feet yet. And it hasn't been put under his feet yet because it's serving him. It's nothing for us to fear any longer. When if our time comes and before the coming of the Lord, it's just a limousine. It's just God's way of taking you when your time here on the earth is done. He said, my word will not return unto me void. And you're a portion of his word. You will accomplish what you were sent here to do. And when you've accomplished that, you will go back to him. And a limousine will escort you over to the other side. Amen. And then those that are on the other side will wait to come to pick up bodies. Amen. But there's a people that are on the face of the earth tonight. A people, oh friends, a people that are going to look death right in the face and say, look, there's no liens on the title. There's no marks. There's nothing hindering the coming of the Lord. Every other age has hindered the coming of the Lord, but we have his word and we believe his word. And the title search has been conducted and it went all the way back to the beginning. And you never did it to begin with. Amen. It's all been wiped away. It's all been washed away. So there's a people that have the right and the authority this evening to look death right in the face and say, not this time, Buster. I cast you down and everything under you. You have no part in me. I have no part in you. You're not going to escort me over to the other side. My theophany is right here. The very same one that gives me a charge like a charge on a battery. The very same one that I don't know how it is that I know something's true. But when I hear that word, my theophany says, say amen to that. Something in me resonates, says that's the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. And it's as if you always knew it. And yet 5 minutes before, you couldn't remember it. 5 minutes before, it was you didn't know that. But now all of a sudden, it's resonating in your soul. Your theophany and you are coming together. Amen. Hallelujah. And one day you're just going to take one more step. You're just going to take one more step. You're just going to take one more step. And it'll be the greatest step you ever took. Because you're going to step out of this pest house. Friends, this thing's got a lot of miles on it. It's the warranty's about expired. And all the parts are wearing out. Isn't that something? You know, the average car loan these days is 5 years. And, you know, if it's a more expensive model and you don't put much of a down payment, they'll let you up to 7 years. How long does that car last generally? About the last payment. And it's by design. They could make a vehicle that would last where you just buy one vehicle a lifetime. They could do that. They could, yeah, we could all be driving tanks, Humvees or whatever, right? But it's by design. They want you to buy another one. So they design it just long enough till that last payment goes through. And you're thinking, wow, all right, hallelujah, no more full coverage. My insurance is going to drop. I'm going to just have liability on my vehicle. And then all of a sudden... So he said, well, I better go have this checked out. And they said, well, you know, you need a new motor. You need a new transmission. You need a new differential. Okay. So are you going to cover that? Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. Yesterday, when did you make your last payment? Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday, the warranty expired. We told you you should have paid extra. Right? You know, speak out of both sides. Your quality goes in before the name goes on, and the highest quality and all that. Then why do I need that extra policy? What is it that you know that I don't know? Something about 5 years. Just saying. This body's breaking down. If the Lord tarries, I'm going to find some more parts that I didn't realize that I had. And I'm only going to know that I have them because they hurt. And I won't be able to tell you what I did to cause it to hurt. Just, oh, my eyelash. This body is falling apart. But I have another body right next to me. Amen. And it don't get tired. And COVID doesn't mean a thing to it. And it'll never get sick. And it'll never battle against me. It'll never pull against me. I don't have to whip it into shape. It agrees with what's in my soul. Hallelujah. And you are a people that are, oh friends, what a privilege, people. I don't know about you, but I've looked at the Bible my whole life. I've looked at the Bible and I thought, I wished I was in this day, or I wished I was in that day. Why did I get left out of this day? Why did I get left out of that day? I remember thinking, why did I get left out of the Bible days? Well, you didn't get left out of the Bible days. The Bible, the whole Bible's speaking about you. You're the fulfillment. You're what the prophets long to see. You're the finishing stones. You're the finishing of a body that's here on the earth. You're the finishing of a bride body, the first woman that will never fall. And she won't fall because the believing part is in her. Christ is in her. The Word is in her, and the Word cannot be deceived. And so you are living in the time when this is the greatest showdown that there's ever been, because Satan is bragging and Satan is saying, look, God, look at what I did with your church. Look at how I defiled this woman. You said that she was spotless, that she was virtuous, that she was without spot or wrinkle. But look what I did to her. I've got her worshiping me. And she thinks she's worshiping you. But I've got her worshiping me. I've got her thinking that you're 3 or 10 or 1 million. She doesn't know the Jesus of the Bible. And God's sitting there. He's not a bit nervous, friends. He's not wringing his hands. He's not saying, oh, devil, I'm so worried. You know, I've got so much invested in Brother Henry, but if something happens, I'm running out of time. I don't have enough time to raise somebody up. So please don't fail me, Brother Henry, please. How about, you know, look, all right, I'll let you off a little easy. I'll let you get away with this or that because, you know, nobody's perfect. And you know, I'm not able to keep my word. I'm not able to perform my word. I'm not able to do what it is that I said I was going to do. That's the devil. Every name that was on that book is coming forth. And they're not coming forth because of their own might or their own power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It is the Lord himself that's keeping both parts of this covenant. Man could never keep a covenant. So God said, all right, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And this covenant is, here's what I'm going to do. Abraham, I've called you out of all the nations. And I've called you out of the land. And I'm going to make you the father of many nations. How do you feel about that? He didn't even ask him how he felt about it. He didn't say, is that okay with you? He said, this is what I'm going to do. And Abraham, I want you to walk before me and be perfect. Now, how's he going to do that? The very same one that called him is going to keep him. Amen. So Abraham, the first time things get tough, he wanders out of the land. He's supposed to be in the land. He leaves the land. He takes off with his wife. And Abimelech, the king, says, who's this beautiful lady? And he says, oh, well, she's my sister. And he says, well, I'd like to have her. I'd like to marry her. I'd like her to be my wife. And Abraham's too afraid to say anything. So Abimelech is preparing to make Sarah his wife. And the Lord appears to Abimelech in a dream. And the Lord says to Abimelech, you're as good as a dead man. Friends, the thing is, he doesn't do this once, he does it twice. Abraham does it twice. He says, you're as good as a dead man. He said, what I want you to do, that woman is another man's wife. He says, but I didn't know that. I'm a righteous man. He says, of course you're a righteous man. You think I'd let my son and daughter be in the hands of an unrighteous king? Of course you are. I've been orchestrating this thing. Yeah, but he lied to me. He said it was my sister. Well, he told you a half-truth because it's his half-sister. Well, he lied to me. I don't care if he lied to you. What I want you to do is go ask him to pray for you. And if he doesn't pray for you, you're a dead man. But what did I do? That's my son. I've made a covenant with him. And I'm going to keep that covenant. So I don't care if he lied. Come on, friends. Well, I know that'll flatten some people. See, we want to base it on us. It's based on him. Your desire is to do right. Your desire is to take his word. Your desire is to believe his word. But you will make mistakes. Amen. I want you to go and ask that man to pray for him. And then I'll restore you. Amen. Look, friends. And then Paul says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. We look at it, we think, well, it looks like he disbelieved to me. We're looking at the flesh part. We're looking at the human part. Down in the soul, he didn't doubt. In your soul, you don't doubt. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, when that seed is quickened in you, all that's in your heart is faith. All that's in your soul is faith. There's no doubt. The doubt's up here. Your head will spin around. This guy needs to be brought into subjection. This guy will fear. This guy will get nervous. But down in the soul, there's an anchor. Down in the soul, there's something holding. And God is looking at that soul. God is looking at that faith that's down on the inside. Glory to God. So we see the angel of the Lord in all of these encounters that we've been looking at in the scriptures. We'll look at maybe just a couple more. He appeared to Manoah's wife. Remember that? And told her that she would have a son. He would be a Nazarite unto God. Sound familiar? From his mother's womb, he would be a Nazarite unto God. He shall be called Samson, which means son of light. He will be used of God to deliver the Lord's people from the Philistines. It will not be Samson that does this, though. It will be the Lord. Amen. He appeared unto David at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he stopped the destroying angel. And the Lord told David to set up an altar in that very place. And we know that the very same place where he set up that altar is the same place that Solomon later built the tabernacle of the Lord. The angel of the Lord received reports from the angels on the earth and then asked God to have mercy on Jerusalem, showing again that he is the mediator, that he is the intercessor. It's not two gods now, friends. It's God condescending. So who is this angel of the Lord? Now, I know I'm belaboring it, but I'm going to keep belaboring it because you need to know who this is. Who is this angel of the Lord? We saw him visiting with Abraham. We saw him visiting with Moses. We saw him coming as one of the three that again met with Abraham and communed with him at the time when the time of the promise drew nigh. We saw him with Eliezer. We saw him with Jacob. We saw him with Moses and Israel and the Exodus from Egypt. We saw him stepping in the way to stop Balaam from before he could curse God's people, God's children. He was the one that was with Joshua. He was the one that anointed him. He was the one that appeared to Gideon. He's the one that appeared to Manoah. He's the one that that appeared to David on the threshing floor. Who is this angel of the Lord? Why, he's the very Logos of God. Brother Branham describes it like this. He says, you know, Moses said in the beginning, this prophet takes us back before the beginning. He takes us back to the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I see a little light. Oh, hallelujah. He says, that's the Son of God. He says, I see this little light, and I see it playing like a child before its father's door. He says, that's the Son of God. That's the Logos of God. That's God condescending. That's God creating a body for himself that looks like a man, but it's not physical like a man, but it looks like a man. It's a theophany body. That's the word that we've been using. It's a word body. And God, then, how he did this is, I'll never be able to comprehend it in this realm for sure. But somehow he took all of his thoughts, all of his attributes, and poured himself into this form, becoming the Son of God. But it's God condescending. Spirit God moving from a realm that's invisible, from a realm that can never be seen, from a realm that can never be known, into a realm that's more tangible. A realm, and in this realm, he could speak. In this body, in this form, Paul tells us in Colossians that everything was made by him. Nothing that was made, there was nothing that was made that wasn't made by him and for him. He created everything. It's God condescending. But yet God is still a spirit. God still inhabits all time and space. But yet he's creating a form that he could step into and create. And it's the very... Oh, he's creating himself into his own creation. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, you catch that, you'll begin to figure out who you are. Glory to God. It won't seem like such a mystery. So it's the very Logos of God, the Word of God, the theophany of God. He is the Logos. Recall, it was... A word is first a thought. So God was alone with all of his thoughts. God had a thought concerning you. God had a thought concerning me. The thought concerning the Lord Jesus, he is the attribute of the fullness of God. He is the entire expression of God in one attribute. So that he could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Spirit. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I'm the very expression of him in a tangible form. I am not the attribute of the fullness of God. I know that's a surprise, but neither are you. But I am an attribute of his thinking. I am a portion of his thinking that's manifested in this hour. Right? So we came from a thought to the word, theophany, to manifestation. Amen? So this is God moving from thought to word, but now God wants to move from word to manifestation. But it's still one God. It's not a different God. Yet the flesh part was a man. When he created a body for himself, it's a man. And, oh, friends, don't let that stumble you. If Jesus Christ wasn't a man, you still need a Savior. Because the law is of a kinsman redeemer. So last time I checked, I'm a man. And it's man that fell, so it's man that needs a redeemer. So God created a blood cell and then stepped into it. And the soul of that man is the very expression of the heart of God. Yet it's a man. It's the beginning of a new creation. It's the God race. Part man, part God. Hallelujah. So it's the very Logos of God. He is the Logos that later became incarnate in the flesh man, Jesus. Now, friends, this is just St. John 1. This is the first revelation that really broke on me as the message is coming to me. I had read that scripture my whole life. All of a sudden, it took on new meaning. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God. Oh, and by the way, the Logos was God. And later on, the Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's God. So he was the Word before he became flesh. He was the Christ before he became flesh. And he's the Christ when he became flesh. And he's the Christ after he became flesh. But the flesh man didn't exist. And I hope this doesn't flatten you. But that flesh man still doesn't exist. Because that man died. And when he rose, he wasn't the same man. Because he was glorified. Yes. Elements that once made up part of that body united with his theophany. And that became his glorified condition. Sound familiar? Wink, wink, nod, nod. What do you think is going to happen to you? Do you think that this body that's going to corrupt in the ground, that's going to, you know, Brother Bram says, we think that we're so important. We think that, you know, that we'll put that 98 cents worth of chemicals. We'll put that nose up in the air like we're somebody, like we're something. And he says, let a car hit you. He says, you'll rot just like everybody else. You'll be stinking the next day just like everybody else. So elements that make up this body are God formed my body when he formed this earth. Amen? There are elements that were laying in this earth that would make up my body. And he would call me. I was supposed to be called from the dust of the earth. I will be called from the dust of the earth. God's plan was not ruined. It was just, there was just a pause put on it so that he could express himself to us, so he could make himself known to us, so he could express all of his marvelous attributes, and so you and I could gain character so that we could come to know him as angels will never know him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So, but I wasn't supposed to come this way. Right? This is a fallen way. This is God's permissive will. But nevertheless, the elements that are making up this body right now, they'll go into the ground, and then I'll come and call for those elements. If I go beyond the curtain of time, I'll come back. I'll be in my theophany, and I'll come back and call those elements out of the dust of the ground, and I will unite with them, and that will make my glorified condition. Oh, you'll recognize me. Sorry about that. You'll recognize me. I'll still, you know, you'll know who I am. I'll still, you know, I won't look 60. I'll look in my 20s or maybe 30. You know, I don't think I was shaving too hard, but till later on. And, you know, I was in such a rush, such a hurry, because I always look younger than my age. And it was such a, you know, you get a complex over that. And, you know, you're trying to be older than you are, trying to be more mature and all that, but then there comes a time when you wish things would reverse. Yeah. Now you want to be younger. So the body that walked the earth is no longer. Right? It's a different body. yet it's made up of the same elements that combined with that. Come on, friends, this is right out of the message. It's nothing new. Combined with that theophany, and that became his glorified condition. Remember when he first rose, he said, "Touch me not. I have to go and be offered and whatever." But he ascended. He took the blood sacrifice up. He was glorified. And it's a preview of what will take place with every other son or daughter of God. He's just the first. Hallelujah. So he's the attribute of the fullness of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In Judges chapter 2, he talks in the first person as God. And it is the Lord God manifesting himself. John the Beloved declared that this same one was the Creator himself, as did Paul, as we mentioned in Colossians. By him were all things created. All things were made by him and for him. Nothing that was made was not made by him. Yet we know that all things weren't created by the man Jesus. Now this is important. But all things were created by the theophanic Christ that later came and dwelt in the man Jesus. Amen. Not one time in the New Testament during the ministry of Jesus did the angel of the Lord appear on the earth. Did you ever notice that? Why? Because he was already here. Not while Jesus was here in the flesh. Not once. Other angels came and other angels ministered to him, but not the angel of the Lord. Jesus was the self-manifestation of the theophanic Christ. The same Christ that led Moses in Egypt is the same Christ that dwelt in the man Jesus. The same Christ that then instructed Joshua, that spoke to Gideon. That Christ, the Son of the living God, was tabernacled in the man Jesus. It was none other than God made flesh among us. But God didn't die. God can't die. The Spirit left him when he went to the cross. And the blood cell, the blood of God, died on the cross, our kinsman redeemer, the only begotten of the Father at that time. It was Christ. That's why we call him Jesus Christ. That's why we call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Because the same Jesus, Paul said, he has made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. He wasn't Lord when he came to the earth. He was Jesus. But when he overcame, when he paid the price, when he made the sacrifice and rose again, he was both Lord and Christ. So Jesus was the man, the near kinsman, the earthly body that had a soul. He said, "Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell." And God dwelt in that man. And was the very expression of God in flesh. So think about that for a moment, friends. Every single time that angel of the Lord appeared, it marked a turning point in world history. Every single time. When he appeared to Abraham at the founding of the chosen race, there was a turning point. When he appeared to the father of our faith, Abraham, it was a turning point. When he appeared to Moses to deliver that very same race, it was a turning point. When he appeared on Mount Sinai and made a covenant with the people and gave them the law, it was a turning point. When he appeared and led the children of Israel through the wilderness, it was a turning point. When he appeared at the laying of the foundation stone in Solomon's temple, it was a turning point. From that point forward, the children of Israel had to come to that place where the angel of the Lord appeared in order to worship the Lord. Their worship would not be, it was where he placed his name, and he would only receive that worship where he chose to put his name. When he stood with Elijah in his battle against Jezebel and her priests, it was a turning point. When he was protecting his children, when he allowed the Babylonians to take them away into captivity, it was a turning point. Do you realize, you know, we America has been a nation for just, you know, barely a few hundred years. What, 200 and, I guess we're getting closer to 250 years, I guess. We're approaching that, right? I mean, that's just a... this guy's lived about 100 of them. That's just a couple of lifetimes. It's not very long, right? Yeah, look at what's taken place in this nation in just a few hundred years. Look at where we're at. Look at what took place in our day. It's a turning point. Notice Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the capital L-O-R-D and the praises of the capital L-O-R-D according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. Say that with me tonight. He was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. The angel of his presence saved them, redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Now, friends, we know that angels cannot save. We know that angels cannot redeem. So who is this angel of the Lord? Oh, friends, when you're too weak, he carries you. This very same mighty one is the mighty angel of Revelation chapter 10. And this very same one came down to anoint you in this hour, in this age, to commune with you, to open his word, to come in and sup with you and you with him, to unite with you in holy matrimony. This same one is the one that plagued the Egyptians until they let God's people go. And this same one, this very same mighty one is here tonight. And he is pouring out his wrath on the kingdom of hell. And he is saying, let my people go. And friends, he'll not leave one hoof behind. He'll not leave one son or daughter behind. In this last great exodus, this very same one is telling gates of hell, give way. Give way to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are his representative tonight. Do you realize that? Don't look at it as, oh, how am I going to make this happen? You aren't. But he is. He just needs somebody to agree with his word. He needs somebody to work through. He needs somebody to allow him to come down and step in and do what he said he's going to do. Don't worry, friends. Don't give up hope. Don't get weary. Claim your loved ones. Oh, sure, it'll tear your heart out. Sure it will. Sure it'll cause your mind to split. Sure it'll cause sickness in your stomach, nervousness. But in the end, you will see the salvation of your loved ones. Not one thing will be left behind. Who do you want to make it? Son or daughter of God? Who do you want to make it? Amen. 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 Friends, when you begin to recognize who and what you are, you'll pray for those that mistreat you, realizing that they'll miss it. If they're not a son or daughter of God, if they are a son or daughter of God, they'll make it right. If they're not a son or daughter of God, if they don't make that right, they'll miss it. Just like Abimelech. God's holding them to a different standard than he's holding you to. Abraham looked like he doubted to me. But God told Abimelech, go have him pray for you. Amen. God is going to keep you. So when you recognize as a son or daughter of God, that if they don't make that right, they won't make it. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, you'll get down on your knees. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, say, oh God, they didn't mean it. Lord, I'm sorry. I might have reacted out of my flesh. I might have said, whip them, Lord, but I didn't mean it. Forgive them, Lord. I don't know what they've been through this or they've been through. It ain't worth it, Lord. What they did to me, forgive them, Lord. I want them to make it. Just as Abraham, the Spirit of Christ that was on him, he went after Lot. Lot, God never called Lot, friends. I hope you're listening tonight. God didn't call everybody. He called his own. He called his own children and he said, I won't lose a single one. And he came to seek and save that which was lost, which is his own family. But in the process, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, he's not willing that any should perish. So if the Spirit of Christ is in you, he'll work through you to bring others to repentance. One soul is worth 10,000 worlds. But they'll never be his children like you are. They'll live outside of the city, but eternal life is eternal life. It's a wonderful thing. Who do you want to make it? Abraham said, Lord, I don't want anybody in Sodom to, and I'm pretty convinced, I know your love. God never called Lot, never did. He said, Abraham, separate yourself from your people. Separate yourself from your family. Friends, we need to go back and look at what he called you to. Abraham is the father of our faith. He didn't call you and your family. He called you. You said, but wait a minute, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're saying, claim my family. You can't claim them as bride. He chooses his bride. But you can claim them for salvation. You can claim them for the kingdom. But you can't make yourself bride, let alone somebody else. You just recognize who you are. And then you stand in the gap. Abraham could not make Lot bride. Lot wasn't bride. Lot would never have the revelation that Abraham had. Lot was blessed by going to Abraham's message church and believing the message that Abraham preached. He was blessed. But Lot's revelation was Abraham said that God said. Abraham said that God said. And eventually, that it could only take Lot so far. It came to an end. Eventually, he could go no further because it's a faith walk. And sight will end at some point. And then it's complete faith. But it's for you, it's been a faith. You know, all this nonsense about, you know, when did the cloud appear? And was it a contrail of a missile? Or what? Couldn't have been this day because, you know, they took the picture on a certain day and Brother Branham wasn't there and hunting season this, that, and the other. Just a bunch of gobbledygook nonsense. I don't believe because of Life magazine. And Brother Branham didn't tell us. Well, Life magazine said, and so I want you to believe. Brother Branham told us what happened. Amen. Later on, an issue comes out from Life magazine. Later on, and Brother Branham is shown that picture, and he says, well, that's the very same thing that I saw. He didn't say it's the same day. He said, that's what I saw. Come on, friends. And why do I believe him? Because he said so. Why do I believe that there was an Adam and Eve? Because Moses said so. Was Life magazine there to take a picture? No. How do I know it wasn't Adam and Steve? Because Moses said so. How do I know what took place in the garden? How do I know how the fall happened? How do I know there was a serpent? How do I know that the serpent seduced Eve? How do I know that his legs came off of his body? And he eats dust. How do I know that? Because one guy told me. One guy under the blood of bulls and goats wrote 5 books and said, in the beginning, this and that and this and that. How do I know how many days there were in the creation? Because Moses told us. I have no proof. And I don't need proof. It's a faith walk. So those things don't shake me and they don't shake you. Oh, well, what about the bridge and I can't find witnesses and I can't this, that. Who cares? How do I know that there was a bush that burned and this mighty angel spoke to Moses? How do I know that? Anybody have any proof? Got a picture, anybody? How do you know that it wasn't a month earlier? How do you know that that thing wasn't burning up a month before Moses got there? My answer is, who cares? Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. How do you know that it wasn't still burning a month later? You don't. Who cares? All I know is that Moses said, the I am that the I am spoke to him from a bush that appeared to be on fire. It was the theophanic Christ, appeared to be on fire, but did not burn. Right? And then he told him, go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he said, well, how will I, what do I tell the people who it is that sent me? Tell them I am that I am. Well, they're not going to believe me. I'll give you 2 signs. And this is what's going to take place. And you're going to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And you're going to, Moses, I have heard the cries of my people. I've heard it myself. And I've come down. And Moses wipes his forehead and says, wow. You know, I was pretty worried there because I thought I was going to have to do something. Thought it was going to rest on me, but Lord, I'm so glad that you're here. All right, take over. Wait a minute, buddy. I've heard the cries of my people, and I've come down, but I'm going to use you. Now, friends, what he said took place was vindicated later on. In the presence of Pharaoh, God brought curse upon curse upon curse until they let his people go. And Moses was used of God. The pillar of fire led the children of Israel into their promised land. Amen? All I have is, I mean, how do I know any of that's true? Moses' name was even erased from history. Pharaoh said, let his name be stricken. How do I know, Brother JJ, that this isn't just some made-up story? I'll tell you how I know. Because the same one that spoke to him out of that bush spoke to me. The same one that led him is leading me. Well, aren't you gonna leave the message now? You don't have an answer for this, that, and the other. I never had the question. You're the one with all the questions. It don't matter to me. That devil's so tricky. Just like a Democrat. I mean, excuse me. Just like political parties. Change the subject. He's made the battle over believe the sign. Right? For me, it never was about the sign. The sign was pointing me to a voice. The sign was pointing me to somebody. So it's believe the voice. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Right? So it never was about the sign. I do believe the sign, and I don't think that there's a problem with that at all. But the sign was to point me to something. Right? So the devil has made the issue the sign. Well, you know, and people are so... I'll be kind. The devil tries to fill us with unbelief. Says, well, you know, there was a rocket launch that day. And, well, just so happens that my father was a launch control officer for the Minuteman missile. And all I seen my whole growing up childhood was missile launches. And I lived on missile bases. And somehow I ended up becoming a missile designer myself. I don't know how that happened. I didn't set out to do that. But I can tell you that the missiles that are launched, I've seen plenty of them launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base, the Minuteman missile. I've seen the Titan IV. I've seen the Atlas, and seen all these different ones. And you by the time you hear them, the contrail of the missile's just about out of sight. So you have to, you know, kind of get a little inside scoop, a little heads up that there's going to be a launch, you know, that it's going to take place on a certain day or whatever, and kind of be looking for it, because you'll actually see it leave the silo, and you'll see the contrail, and you'll see the flame, and you'll see the missile going up, and sound travels at, you know, 750 feet per second at standard atmosphere at sea level, I guess. So it takes a while for that sound to get to you, right? Meanwhile, the missile's moving so fast, it's almost out of sight. And you see that big contrail. And then in a short period of time, the contrail kind of dissipates. It kind of moves out. Now, the launches take place from Vandenberg Air Force Base, which is on the central coast of California. And what happens is that contrail moves west. It doesn't move east. And then all of a sudden, move west again. And it's not however many miles he said it was up there in the atmosphere, 60 miles or whatever. It's not way up there where there's no atmosphere. And if you just a regular a high school physics student could do the math and figure out, okay, how much moisture would it take to make a cloud, how much water would it take to make a cloud that big, 60 miles across or whatever the number was? Is that right? Was that the right number? I don't remember. I'm getting old.
30 miles,
okay.
27 miles.
Okay, 27 by 30, right? Do the math. 27 by 30, how much water would it take to make a cloud that big, that high in the altitude? You'll see that there's no rocket we've ever invented that's going to put that much water up into the atmosphere that high, and then for it to slowly move that direction. Well, it was something maybe out at White Sands. Well, we don't launch intercontinental ballistic missiles from White Sands. They're the little missiles that we make over here at the missile factory. So it's not even, but yet people will believe Tommy Rot like that. They'll jump off on that and say, oh, that's the science's explanation is, you know. And Brother Branham wasn't there when that picture was taken. So what? Did he say he was? He never did. Here's what he told us. I was out there at Sunset Mountain. He said, I was picking a cockle burr off of my trousers. I was helping these brothers get their pig. I'd already gotten mine. Well, we could preach on that one. He'd already brought this thing under subjection. I was going to try and help them, but they got to do it themselves. I was pulling this cockle burr off my trousers, and I heard this blast. And I looked up, and he said, it's quicker than you could flash your eyes. Click faster than the blinking of an eye. These angels came, showed up, formed this constellation. He said, I was lifted up into that constellation, the seventh angel, not the first, not the second, not the third, not the sixth, the last one, the seventh one, looked more to me, meant more to me than the others. came down, grabbed him, picked him up. He was caught up in that constellation. He said, I was thinking things that were not my thoughts. I was seeing things, I was being shown things that you can't reveal to yourself. He was told, go east. The book's going to come open. The seals will come open. So these people that are making this big movement of disbelieve the sign, that's what I call it. I don't call it believe the sign. I saw right through that when it first came up. You know, God puts us up as watchers. Some of us see things, we're just created in a certain way, and it's a burden. We wish we weren't created that way, but we're created that way for a purpose. But I saw when this thing formed, I thought, man, what a bunch of intellectual nonsense. Making bumper stickers and t-shirts and, you know, doing the same thing that we did in the denominations. You know, making merchandise out of this and trying to convince people intellectually. Well, I wasn't convinced intellectually. It's by faith. Yes. Not by sight. The beautiful thing about it is that if you'll believe it, God will give you evidence down the road. But if you insist on evidence, you'll never believe. You'll never see it. Right. Amen. Amen. So Satan tries to make the argument over the sign, right? But notice, the ones that want to argue that, they don't argue what took place when Brother Branham went back to Indiana. They don't argue the book coming open. They don't argue the things that were revealed, that were told. Why? Because they don't have a leg to stand on. They couldn't even come close to even touch it. What he was told to do, he did. And what he did was what was declared would take place. And he said, this is what happened when he was on that mountain, and I believe it. I don't care. I don't care about science. I don't care about evidence. It's by faith. Amen? And every son and daughter of God that goes in the rapture is in the same kind of a faith walk. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got pulled off on that, but there we are. Amen. There's a movement. I'm not here to talk about politics and all that, but it's curious. There's a movement that's taking place right now where people are bowing their knee. They're getting down like this. And they're having a moment of silence or 7 minutes of silence or whatever, you know, but they've been doing that for a while. They're bowing a knee. And my question is, who are you bowing to? Oh, well, it's just what? You're bowing your knee. You're not bowing it to the flag. So who are you bowing your knee to? There's only one that I want to bow my knee to. Amen. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is just, it doesn't matter, friends. We're not being insensitive. We're not even going there. We're not getting caught up in it. But do you realize that people can bow their knee and be bowing their knee to the wrong thing and not realize, thinking that they're doing what's right, but they're doing what's wrong? There's only one that I'll bow my knee to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the living word overcoming in this hour of darkness. Listen, friends, he came and he gave gifts unto men. And we very much appreciate that. And we want all that he's given to us. And if you've got something that he gave you and you don't want it, give it to me. We need it. But something greater is here. It's called the giver. The person of the word is here. And there's a union that's taking place between a heavenly bridegroom and an earthly bride. And it's taking place right now. And that word is complete. It's not partial word. It's the fullness of the word. And it's all powerful. And he wants your enemy to fall by the word. And he's here to fight your battle. So I say to you tonight, unite with the Word. Eat the Word. And then speak the Word. Become one with the Word. Your enemy has no choice but to give way to the living Word. When the Hebrew children got into trouble, when they went into the fiery furnace, who was in the midst of the fire with them? The fourth man in the fire. One like unto the Son of God. It was the same angel of the Lord. You may be in the fire tonight, no doubt, but you're not alone. The fire is not consuming you. It's burning out everything that needs to be burned out. And when you're tried, you're going to come forth as gold. So whether it's Daniel in the lion's den, you know, maybe you feel like you're in a lion's den tonight. But you're not alone. The pillar of fire is there also. That very same Christ, the mighty one, the mighty angel of his own covenant, is here. This is why these things are written in the Bible for us, friends. It's to show you, to convince you that the theophanic Christ, you know what to look for. The theophanic Christ is here. And if he's with you, you don't fear wherever he sends you, wherever he leads you. The never failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We're talking about the presence of Christ, friends. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The very same one that defeated death. The very same one that defeated hell and the grave. The very same one that took the keys from Satan's side. He descended into hell, took the keys away from him. Do you realize Satan doesn't even have the keys to his own house any longer? The very same one that said, "Fear not, I am he who was dead and alive forevermore," is here tonight. The very same one that said, "I've got the keys of death and hell and the grave." That very same one holds the keys to your situation tonight. Whatever your trial is, whatever you're going through, he has the key of David that'll open what nothing else can open and will shut what nothing else can shut. He has the key that you have need of. How many believes that tonight? And he takes responsibility for you. He takes total responsibility for his bride. He and he alone. Nobody but him. The mighty one. The theophanic Christ. The one that promised you that he would never leave you. How many knows that's the truth? The one that said, "I will have my bride. The zeal of the Lord will perform this." His word cannot return to him void, friends. It'll accomplish what he sent it to do. Neither will you return unto him void. He is the Shekinah, the angel of the Lord. Listen to this from the 20th century prophet. "May I present my wife, honey? This is Brother Leroy and Paul Kopp of Los Angeles, California. Sister Branham says, delighted to have you in our home, Brother Kopp." It's so cute, really kind of cute, isn't it? Brother Kopp says, "You know, there's a reason why we only have one video. It's because we're not walking by sight. We're hearing a voice. I don't care if I never saw a picture of William Branham. I heard a voice." Brother Kopp says, "Brother Branham, in your two great campaigns at Los Angeles at Calvary Temple, we noticed that the Lord Jesus Christ worked with you in a very special manner with these marvelous gifts, discerning of the spirits of men's hearts, as well as the sickness of their body, and the signs of healing and miracles that were wrought. We thought it was wonderful." Brother Kopp says, "We're interested, Brother Branham, in hearing more about this unique ministry that God has given you." "Very well, Brother Kopp. Let us go back to the beginning. I was born in eastern Kentucky in a little log cabin near Burkesville, Kentucky. The morning of my birth, I'm told of my parents that there was a light that came into the room and hung over me. My people was not a religious people. They did not go to any church. Of course, this caused quite a stir among them. It's followed me all the days of my life. Recently, they took a picture of it in the scientific world, as shown here. You're probably familiar with this picture. It was proven by science that it was the only supernatural being that was ever scientifically photographed. And you're living in that day. To my opinion, Sister Lydia, to my opinion, Brother Angel, it's the same angel of God that... It's the same one. It's the same angel of God that followed the children of Israel from Egypt into Palestine. You know, as a scholar yourself, that was the angel of the covenant. None other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now I get some amens. Oh, well, Brother Branham said it. Well, of course he did. We wouldn't be preaching it if he didn't say it. You knew I was going to back it up. And when here on the earth, manifested in flesh, he did not claim to be a great person. He said the Son can do nothing just as the Father shows him. In St. John, the 5th chapter, perhaps you're acquainted with it, the scripture, Jesus passed through the famous pool of Bethesda. He find many crippled people there, blind, halt, lame, waiting for the moving of the water. It was strange that he just ministered to one. But if you'll notice, he knew where that person was. The Father had showed him. He healed this one. Perhaps he wasn't crippled. Maybe he was just laying on a pallet, but Jesus healed him. And then farther in the chapter, we find out in the 19th verse that he was questioned by the Jews. Perhaps it would be questionable today why God would pass through a place where all these people were lame and halt and blind and would not heal them all. But here I'll quote his words. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. This doeth the Son likewise." So he did it by vision. God had to show it to him. Then according to his own words, his ministry was based upon visions from his Father. Would not be strange then that his ministry should be carried on as he promised his disciples? The things that I do, shall you do also? Greater than this shall you do, for I go unto my Father. He said, a little while, and the world seeth me no more, yet you shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Listen to this. I believe it's a confirmation in this last days of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, living among his people, performing the same signs and wonders that he did when he was here on earth. You see, excuse me. So he says, this is that very same angel of the covenant, that very same angel of the Lord is Christ. Who will go with us? Again, from the great warrior Joshua. We'll pull over here in just a minute. You see, he was getting his position then. He was to be the greatest military man that's ever been on the face of the earth. There's never been a general like Joshua. No time, no age, nowhere has ever been compared with Joshua. The word Joshua comes from the word of Jesus, means Jesus or Savior or Deliverer. And so when he seen this man, what was it? It was the captain. In other words, the leader of the host of Israel. And that leader was none other than Christ himself. Remember the angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua? He said, who goes there? He says, I'm the captain of the host. That was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what was he first seen in? A pillar of fire. And now the pillar of fire had become a man. I hope you know what I'm talking about. He had become a man. He took on the form of a man and spoke to Joshua. Joshua alone by himself seen just what it was. How do I know this happened, Brother Augie? Because Joshua said so. How do I know he didn't just make this up? Believe the sign. That pillar of fire that had led them as an angel, here he stood and called himself the captain of the host. He was the unseen one. So friends, let me be clear. When we look at the pillar of fire, Brother Branham was asked, are you the Son of Man? No. Is the pillar of fire the Son of Man? No. Well, then who is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. Isn't the pillar of fire Jesus Christ? No. The pillar of fire is what you see, but he dwelt in the pillar of fire, and you can't see him except he veils himself to reveal. He has to veil himself to reveal himself to you. That pillar of fire that had led them as an angel, here he stood and called himself the captain of the host. He was the unseen one. And he is still the captain of the host of the Lord, the unseen one, the invisible one, the omnipotent one, here tonight, just as real as he was standing there against the walls of Jericho. Amen. The same Lord Jesus, a figurative type, of course. He was Melchizedek. So he's saying a figurative type because the man Jesus hadn't been born yet. But the pillar of fire that dwelt in him, the Logos that dwelt in him, was the same Logos that took on flesh. He was Melchizedek that met Abraham many, many hundreds of years before there. Had no father, no mother, no beginning of days or ending of years. Melchizedek. Who was this great king? Had no beginning of days, no ending of years. Without descent. Without father, without mother. There you are. Here he is. He met Abraham out there under the oak one day. And he had dust all over his clothes. And he said he was from a strange foreign country. He was on his road down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham recognized it was something. Went in, got the fatted calf, killed it, brought it out, gave him milk from the cow, meat from the calf. So much for the tree huggers. God ate meat. If you don't like meat, that's okay. Just leave my steak alone. Hoe cakes off the fire. And he drank the milk. He ate the flesh and the hoe cakes. And when Abraham made a sacrifice, the man vanished before him. Abraham said, I've talked face to face with God. Melchizedek, the unseen host. Just as real here tonight as he was there. Just as real here tonight as he was there. Just as real here tonight as he was there. He's everywhere that his people are gathered together. Because it is his spiritual body, Christ. Oh, I hope you get it tonight. And see it real close. Friends, this is 1955. Look. If my spirit was as my shadow is, a shadow of the material, say my shadow would be the spirit of the material, and the body, supernaturally now, the body of the Lord Jesus is the shadow, as it was, of the natural physical body of the Lord. And notice, if healings, if power, if visions, if the things that Christ had in him has gone out of his shadow, then Christ is paralyzed. His natural body sits paralyzed. Because that if his physical body moves, his shadow will have to move with it. And if we are in Christ by the Holy Ghost baptism, and the way the body of Christ moves, it'll move the same way on the earth, for this is a shadow of his body. Amen. Always been in figurative types, and it is tonight, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, taking it out of the things of the world, predestinated by God, called of God, elected of God, chosen of God, saved by God, baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, and made members of this body alive, ready, willing, my shadow will move every time anything of my body moves. Oh, isn't that beautiful? He's doing it in heaven, you're doing it on earth. Oh, Glory to God. What do I got to do? Just let him do it. And the Holy Spirit body of Christ will move just as Christ moves. And if Christ in heaven can ever get his physical body or his spiritual body on the earth moving as he wants it to move, watch for things to happen. It's beginning to come to life. 1955, it's beginning to come to life. It's beginning to come to life. They've paralyzed it long enough, but the Holy Spirit is bringing life into it, and it's beginning to wake up, and it's beginning to move because it sees its position. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The theophanic Christ was Jesus Christ before he was ever made flesh and dwell among us. The Bible said Moses followed Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I don't know if I put it in the notes, but anyway, it says this. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Oh, friends, this only fits one way. It's him from cover to cover. It's him from beginning to end. It's Christ. It's always Christ. Israel was in dry places, and Moses was to speak to a rock, and that rock then followed them where they went. Oh, friends, he's always within speaking distance. When you have need, he is there. He's still that water from a rock tonight. Israel went into a land that was occupied, and they were to remain there until there was a certain amount of time that they were to stay there. But there was a delay while God raised up his prophet, and while God waited for his prophet to be ready, and also waited for the people to receive this prophet. But God is always on time. There was no delay in God's time. He was right on time. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And friends, we know this is a dimension. And we know also that there's a body that's waiting for you. And Jesus said, this place that we're going to, the streets are paved with gold. Can you imagine that? And there's a body that's waiting for you. A mansion that will never get sick or die. A body that matches what has already been birthed in your soul. We're going to pull over here for just a moment. Stay with me. An unused, uncontaminated body. You know, there was a little blip, little headline, and it said something like, after this COVID thing is over, that we should just go buy used clothes. I didn't follow it to find out what it was getting after, but you know, maybe it was, you know, you're going to get new clothes, but then somebody touched them and they got, I don't know. You may have had a lot of hand-me-downs in this life. I knew that I grew up with it. If everybody else is living that way, you don't think anything of it. It's when other people around you don't have hand-me-downs. Fortunately, I grew up with kids that were kind of in the same boat, so it didn't really matter to us. But this body has never been inhabited. Think about it. It's unused. It's pristine. It's uncontaminated. It's COVID immune. It's pest-free. There's no aches. There's no pains. There's no sorrows. I mean, just think about it tonight, friends, for just a moment. Think about it. Just think about the cycles that you might go through as humans. Maybe you go through cycles where you're up, and then you go through cycles where you're down, and maybe you're like me. If it rains for a solid week, you kind of get the blues, and you realize what it is. You realize it's the way that you're made up, and so you say, this is not real, and I'm not giving in to this, but you still don't feel the same way you do when the sun's shining. And in this body that we're going into, you'll never experience that ever again. You'll never have acid reflux again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just think, friends. A body that's waiting for you. unused, pest-free. This is a pest house. The coming of the Lord has been in process now for 2,000 years. He's been coming. And when the last member is added and the cup of iniquity of the Amorites is full, filled up to the brim, it's a time when God disinherits the Amorites, kicks them out of the land, and he takes you into the land that he's promised. Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. What place is that? John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to take you to the place that I have prepared. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Again, Exodus 23:22, just in closing. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee, my presence shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thy enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee. Isn't there some kind of a hornet thing that's everybody's afraid of now? You know, it was Corona, and now it's some killer hornet or whatever. God's the one that's sending the hornets. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that thoughtful of the Lord? God keeps some around. You know, there are, I hate to say it this way, friends, but it's the truth. There are people that God sends to pay the bills. There are people that God sends to take the heat. The shuck can take the heat. The shuck takes pressure while the seed's forming on the inside, right? But there comes a time when the shuck pulls away. And the time that comes when the shuck pulls away, the seed can take it. Now the shuck can't take the late evening sun, but the seed can. I will drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. And by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee. Friends, isn't that what he's doing in your life? Little by little. We want it all to just be instant. But it's one step at a time. And footsteps are possession. Little by little by little. Perhaps you're sitting there tonight and maybe you've been going through the molly grubs for a period of time. And maybe it's part of your natural cycle. Maybe the devil's told you you're not getting anywhere. And maybe you're looking at the one thing that bugs you, that maybe is not brought under total subjection in your life. But what you're missing out on is everything that God has done in your life up to this point. You haven't been idle. You've been making, listen, you're not overcome. You're overcoming. And it's one thing after another, after another. Little by little, by little, by little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set the bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, I will surely be a snare unto thee. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the... Who is this mighty angel, friends? The theophanic Christ to keep you in the way. If the musicians would make their way up, he's here tonight. He's walking amongst us. He said, where two or more are gathered, I'll be there in their midst. How many would say, Lord, here I am. I'm here to worship you tonight, Lord. I'm here to call upon your name. I'm here to say, Lord, just take me. Use me. I surrender, Lord. I make myself available. Be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, use me in ways that you've never used me before. And the way that's going to take place is I'm going to surrender in ways that I never surrendered before. Maybe we've made this too complicated. Maybe we're looking for something way out there when it's right here. And all it's God waiting on us. He's just waiting on us to surrender. To give, friends, you can't fight those battles. As I was going to say earlier, maybe you're sitting there, and maybe you've spent your whole life with complexes. Maybe you spent your whole life being called a dummy or no good, or why can't you be like your brother? Or why can't you be like your sister, or whatever? Throw all that nonsense out the door. That has no place in the life of a son or daughter of God. This is not on you. It's on Him. It's about you trusting Him. It's about you saying, Lord, I give myself to you. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but you're going to take me from here to there. I don't know how you're going to bring me forth. I don't know how you could say that I'm without spot or wrinkle, but if that's what you say, I believe you, Lord. Amen. Now, Lord, I'm not going to listen to the devil. I'm not. This is a pest house. This is a condemned dwelling place. But as long as I'm in it, I'm going to live in health even and prosper in health even as my soul prospers. I'm going to drag this thing to a body change. It's not going to stay in the condition that it's in, but I'm not going to focus on this. I'm going to focus on what you've placed down on the inside of me, and I'm going to focus on your word. I'm going to focus on your promises, and I'm going to surrender, Lord. I'm going to say, Lord, just take me, use me, fill me, mold me, shape me. Have your way, Lord. Manifest yourself here on the earth. May your word be accomplished, your will be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. He knows us by name tonight, friends. Would you stand? He's told you that he's with you. You're not going by yourself. The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him, and he delivers them from every snare. He leads them. He comforts them. He strengthens them. He gives them rest. And he's mighty in battle. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight? Do we have the words to that? Beautiful Savior. On your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. Call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord.